To In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland, an international faith-based show comprising music, news and interviews from all over the world.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch, and now in our seventh show of the new series, we have a variety of music from Israel, Ohio, Colorado and Washington State, USA. We have our second interview with veteran Eddie Beckford, originally from New York City, but now living in Arad, Israel. He made a promise to God back in Vietnam, but says that in 1979, the Lord tricked him. And of course, we have our usual faith-based news feature, Bread News International. We introduced the show today with a song called Desert Call from an Israeli band, Eden Mi Kadem. We'll have more great music shortly, but first, let me introduce my guest for today, Eddie Beckford. Born in Spanish Harlem, New York City, Eddie, with his wife Laura, now runs a chess club and outreach centre in the south of Israel. But back in the early 70s, after he had survived the Vietnam War, Eddie had quite a different lifestyle. I talked to him in the street outside his chess club in Arad.
My parents were believers, Christians, and my mother didn't have any objection to me as a child going to Sunday schools and summer camp and all of that. So I was born Catholic. It was Orthodox Catholic stuff. There was no guitars and drums like you see today. Things were done in Latin. Well, there's a Protestant parish that opened up, and they had an outreach program. They sent people around and gathered up children in the neighborhood and took them to church, and they had art classes, and they even had dances with chaperones, making sure you stayed your distance. And it was a family-orientated structure. We went on picnics, and it was great. My mom's and my father, we got all involved in this church. Went to Vietnam, joined the service at 17, was over in Vietnam at 18. I made a promise to God that if you get me out of this situation alive, one piece, I'd serve you. He kept his end of the bargain, I didn't keep mine. I got back to the States and I was in Atlantic City, Las Vegas, drinking, gambling, the nightlife. But it always pointed me, it was right there, and tugging at me. And in 79, I got tired of trying to, I just wanted to clear my conscience. It was like paying a debt. And I thank God, looking back on it, hindsight, that he was gracious enough to give me more and more time those years. Because it was in 66 I was over in there. And 79 when I made good on my promise. And if I died in my sin, and with that on my over my head, I would have had no excuse facing him. Pulled up in judgment there, and he brings that up. Hey, shows me that video of that promise. I'd be guilty as charged. So I praise God that I straightened up. One thing led to another, I'm here in Israel.
Yeah, how'd that come about?
Well, I used to call it like God tricking me. I started going to this one church. It was called Grace. And I figured, okay, what's the catch here? You know, because other churches I went to, they always said I wasn't really good enough. I had to stop everything I was doing and clean up my act and then come back. And I was thinking like, well, church is just for all the righteous ones. But this Grace Church, the guy told me I could come as I am. You know, I asked him, can I still gamble? He says, yeah, no problem. I said, can I still drink? He says, yeah, you can still, yeah, you be a member. Come as you are. God accepts you as you are. Wow. I said, well, I can do this. Well, I started going to his church, and little did I know, and this is why I say, I refer to it as God tricked me. Before, I was lucky on the tables in the casinos. I even gave away money sometime during the week to say, hey, keep it. I'll pick it up on the weekend. I made money. I was lucky. But when I gave my life to the Lord, my luck disappeared. Little did I know I was under blessing now, but not no luck. It didn't take long for me to stop gambling because I kept dropping a thousand there, and it wasn't fun anymore. Same thing with drinking. I never had a hangover. Drank 151 Bacardi rum. No hangover. Drank malt liquors. No hangovers. Once I gave my life to the Lord, seriously, in 79, it changed. Budweiser would give me a hangover. That's crazy. It's hard to understand. It would not be, you know, conceivable, except for knowing that God tricked me again. I end up right where I am today.
Locked away with all my secrets inside. Behind this wall I build, I try and hide. Ashamed of all I've seen and done. Too proud to apologize, a prodigal son. About dreams, so I'll talk.
That was a rocky song from an Ohio, USA band, Keys to Eden and Freedom. Now back to Eddie in Israel.
20 years after Vietnam, our commander's written report became declassified. And I somehow got a hold of his report. It also had a roster of all the guys that I was over in Vietnam. So I took that list of names and I started looking for these guys. And after 13 years of searching, I came across others, but I came across this guy that was a messianic pastor in Eretz Israel. So I contacted him and said, hey, look, we're ready to have a reunion. This is our first reunion coming up. And he said, man, he wouldn't miss it for the world. So I told him, look, you're coming all the way from Israel. You can stay in my suite thing, and I got your meals. I'll pick you up at the airport. I got all your expenses, man. That's the least I could do. Well, he flies to the States, stops off in Pennsylvania to visit some friends and family, and he has a heart attack and he dies. He doesn't get to the reunion, which was taking place in Topeka, Kansas. So his wife, Laura, emailed me and told me the bad news. I didn't really want to go to the reunion because here I am, I would be in this room, the other bed would be there, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, what a bummer. But the guys insisted that I come because I was the one that put it all together, and I went, and I did have a good time. The guys brought all kinds of pictures that they took over in Vietnam. Some of them were slideshows, some were brownie comments, some were held this way, some were held this way. And they were showing slides, and I'm taking pictures of the slides, and I had all of this data that I want to put on a web page, but the task was like overwhelming. I expressed this to Laura through email, and she was willing to help me. And so we worked a couple years together, just email. I taught her how to make web pages using HTML. And man, we got along great, I mean, during my time. You know, when Milt first passed away, my late husband, and while we were at the reunion at that time, and she just came to the funeral. She didn't go to the burial. So a year later, she moved to the States from Israel to visit the gravesite. And I was in Virginia at the time, and I came up to Pennsylvania, and we both went together. And so this time, I finally put a face with the correspondence, email correspondence, and everything. We really hit it off, and you know, a year later, I think she came on another speaking tour, and the next year, I decided I'd fly over to Israel and check it out. I was reading the Left Behind series, and it was pretty interesting. I came here and basically been here ever since. We ended up going to Cyprus, getting married over there, and we've been happily married really over about 6 years, going on 6 years.
Bread News International. In this bulletin, lemongrass fields become a mecca for cancer patients, and a Lebanese woman tells the truth. Jerry McCulloch reports.
Report from Hope for Today. Brigitte Gabrielle was raised in Lebanon, where she was taught that the Jews are evil, Israel is the devil, and the only time we will have peace in the Middle East is when we kill all the Jews and drive them into the sea. In a speech made at Duke University, Maryland, USA, she declared, "I'm proud and honoured to stand here today as a Lebanese speaking for Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. As someone who was raised in an Arabic country, I want to give you a glimpse into the heart of the Arabic world. When the Muslims and Palestinians declared jihad on the Christians in 1975, they started massacring the Christians city after city. My mother was wounded by a Muslim shell and was taken into an Israeli hospital for treatment. When we entered the emergency room, I was shocked at what I saw. There were hundreds of people wounded, Muslims, Palestinians, Lebanese Christians and Israeli soldiers lying on the floor. The doctors treated everyone according to their injury. They treated my mother before they treated the Israeli soldier lying next to her. They didn't see religion. They didn't see political affiliation. They saw people in need and they helped. For the first time in my life, I experienced a human quality that I knew my culture would not have shown to their enemy. The Israelis were able to love their enemy in their most trying moments. I spent 22 days at that hospital. Those days changed my life and the way I believe information, the way I listen to the radio or to television. I was sold a fabricated lie by my government about the Jews and Israel, which was so far from reality. If I were a Jew standing in an Arab hospital, I would be lynched and thrown to the ground as shouts of joy echoed through the hospital and the surrounding streets. The difference between the Arabic world and Israel is a difference in values and character. It's barbarism versus civilization. It's democracy versus dictatorship. It's goodness versus evil.
Fresh lemongrass fields in Israel become a mecca for cancer patients. From Israel 21C, a drink with as little as 1 gram of lemongrass contains enough citral to prompt cancer cells to commit suicide in the test tube, according to new Israeli research. At first, Benny Zabadov, an Israeli agriculturist, who grows greenhouses full of lush spices in the Sharon region, couldn't understand why so many cancer patients were showing up on his doorstep asking for fresh lemongrass. It turned out that their doctors had sent them. They had been told to drink 8 glasses of hot water with fresh lemongrass steeped in it on the days that they went for their radiation and chemotherapy treatments, Zabidov told Israel 21C, and this is the place you go to in Israel for fresh lemongrass. Citral is the key component that gives the lemony aroma and taste in several herbal plants such as lemongrass, melissa and verbena. Researchers at Ben-Gurion University discovered last year that citral kills cancer cells in vitro while leaving healthy cells unharmed. The research team is led by Dr. Rivka Ofir and Professor Yaakov Weinstein from the Department of Microbiology and Immunology. According to Ofir, the study found that citral causes cancer cells to commit suicide using apoptosis, a mechanism called programmed cell death. A drink with as little as 1 gram of lemongrass contains enough citral to prompt the cancer cells to commit suicide in the test tube. The findings were published in the scientific journal Planta Medica, which highlights research on alternative and herbal remedies. Shortly afterwards, the discovery was featured in the popular Israeli press.
Information on these and other Bread News stories at kingdomcome.org.uk/news.
Now back to Eddie Beckford and his ministry in Israel.
I have this friend named Herman I met, and he had a ministry up north. And when him and his wife first came here from South Africa, they were like on fire for the Lord. They felt like they could even pray for people and raise the dead. And they came here and they were immediately told, no, you don't want to do that, you got to be low key. And they bought into it. They got a congregation going. They never spread the gospel to anybody. They never passed out Bibles or testimonial books. They laid low, they didn't make any waves. Yet still the IT found them. Got to their landlord, and consequently they didn't get their lease renewed after all this work they put into this facility. Well, they didn't make any waves, and still they were shut down. And he went to a meeting up in East Jerusalem at the House of Prayer. And the night before, he had a dream or a vision that he was going to meet somebody. And the person was supposed to be wearing a certain color shirt or something. But he's looking around for this person, and he knows I'm the guy sitting right next to him. And one thing led to another. He had all these used clothes. And it was like he had just a matter of days, not a week left, where he had to get rid of them, give them away or put them out on the street. And he asked me, did I want them? And I had a chess club, a little He-Man's club going. What was I going to do with used clothes? But he made me an offer I couldn't refuse. All these nice clothes, take them all, I have to throw them away. So I put tables out that Monday, put them on there, and it was a sensation, you know, people were grabbing. Little did I know that that would turn into a ministry in itself. It's a pretty big job, sorting clothes, gathering them, putting them out. I basically was doing this alone. But a lot has happened since we've been giving the clothes out. The team have been coming out, and people are coming, and they're seeing what's lurking in those guys' hearts. Before you didn't see that, but now you hear what's coming out of their mouths. Some terrible things. And people have been giving their lives to the Lord. And whenever they meet one of us believers, they also see the Christ in us. And so all the policemen have met us, and they're all meeting the Christ that's in us. Even these Dateen, they're seeing the Christ that's in us. But what they see, they don't like.
was an instrumental version of a song called Ain't Sellin' Out from Jason Bennett in Colorado, USA. And now, the final part of that interview with Eddie Beckford.
What kind of people have come to the Lord then? What sort of people?
Well, during this last Ramadan, we had two Bedouin women give it out to the Lord. And I was very impressed with that, with it being Ramadan. We've had a couple of Orthodox give their life to the Lord. Because this one lady, she had the Orthodox headpiece on and dress and everything. And she's looking at, listening to them, looking at us. Started telling them that, hey, what you're saying is not right and this and that. And the Orthodox lady, you know, that was harassing us, asked her point blank, whose side are you on? Theirs or ours? And she took her headpiece off. I said, there. Gave her life to the Lord. Eventually, about a couple months later, her sister gave her life to the Lord. And they were going to be baptized in Bisheva, and that's when they had that big riot thing. They broke into the congregation, hundreds of them, and trashed the place, threw the pastor in the baptismal site, and slapped some of the old ladies around. I remember they brought, one of the chess players brought a guy over that was deaf. He was like suicidal. He was ready to end it all. I don't think he had many friends. Who's going to go to a deaf person's house and hang around? But with him coming here, he came in every day and he started helping me out with things around here. He immediately had a support group, friends. Whole family.
These guys are not just doing it for the love of it, they're getting support. The Dot team, the Hara team.
Yeah, there's one of these guys, a couple of them have actually opened up their wallets and held up money saying, hey, we're getting paid for this. I would think the Yad Lakim, I really suspect, might be financing. Yeah, if we're not careful and mindful of where our monies go when we contribute to, let's say, Blessing Israel, some of that money, a lot of it, could get into the wrong hands. We could be actually putting fuel in their tanks and paying for their posters and contributing actually to the harassment of believers.
Find more information about Eddie and all of our previous interviews on our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. Don't forget the .uk at the end. We finish this show off with a lovely tune from the Irish Experience in Seattle, Washington, USA. This is The Fiddler's Lament, Slam. Thank you. You've been listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, go to the partner page under radio on the Kingdom Come Trust website. That's www.kingdomcome.org.uk. You can make a monthly contribution or a one-off gift there. Join us again next week for more music, news, and sharing our faith through cultural expressions. An interview with Canadian airline pilot Joel Molan, whose ministry, Northern Connections, links native reserves in Canada with Africa and other parts of the world. Slán agus Panagia. Bye and God bless.